This is Mark Strassman, reporter with California Politics Today. We're about to talk to Rolf Lindgren, who's the chief pollster for the Libertarian Party of the United States. Welcome to California Politics Today.
Hello there, Mark.
Where am I talking to you from in this vast country of ours?
I'm in Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, I've been there. That's a political place, if there ever was one.
The People's Republic of Madison, they call it.
People's Republic of Madison, yes. I'm not far from the People's Republic of Santa Monica. I don't know what the foreign relations are there. Okay. You're a pollster. You did. There's a new poll came out. Two new polls came out today, one about the presidential campaign and one about the Senate campaign in California. Tell us just a little bit about the presidential campaign and then we'll and the poll results, and then we'll focus on the California situation.
Yeah, well, most of the polls you've seen nationally leave out Libertarian Michael Bednarik. This poll was the first one I've seen in which Bednarik is included, and he got 7% if people thought their vote would decide the election, and 29% of the people they're considering voting for Bednarik. That's pretty good for a Libertarian.
Okay. Now, how did he do compared to Ralph Nader?
In this poll, Ralph Nader was not listed on the on there. He hasn't made that many ballots yet.
So in fact, and how many ballots has the Libertarian candidate made it onto?
The Libertarian Party makes it on 50 ballots in every election.
That's because the party as such is qualified. And
that's
so,
right. The party is much more organized than the Nader campaign.
Okay, and so in the same way that whoever gets the Democratic or Republican nomination automatically gets to go on the ballot in all 50 states because the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are recognized in those states, so too the Libertarian nominee gets to be on the ballot without having to collect extra signatures or do any other kind of things.
The Libertarians have to get signatures, but they actually get the signatures every election. None of the other parties make it on all 50 ballots.
You mean they're not recognized parties that automatically get their candidate on, but they're organized enough to collect enough signatures to follow the rules in each state and get their candidate on?
Yeah, these other parties that are out there, they'll get 20 to 40 states frequently,
okay,
depending on the year.
So there are only two parties that whoever they nominate gets on the ballot, the Democrats and Republicans.
That's right. The Constitution doesn't say anything about a two-party system, but that's the way it is right
okay.
now, unfortunately.
Okay, so what do you read into the fact that the Libertarian candidate got as many or as few votes as he preferences as he did?
Well, it shows you that they're very underrated. When people know the positions Libertarians take, they do a lot better.
Now, isn't the crux of what we're talking about here, the problem is that it's not a level playing field. The Democrats and Republicans have a duopoly of media coverage, and as we just mentioned, a duopoly of being on the ballot automatically, as well as making up most of the registered voters, but certainly a diminishing percentage of them. And the question is, how do candidates who aren't Democrats or Republicans get their message out to the voters?
Well, this year, one of the ways they're getting the message out is by commissioning polls.
Right.
Since none of the polls you see on TV mention the Libertarian candidates, some Libertarian candidates went out and made their own polls, paid for the polls through a scientific pollster.
Now, right. So these essentially, though, the Libertarian Party provided the money to a professional pollster.
Right.
And had no input. The only input they had, really, into the pollster's behavior was that the pollster would say, would you vote for the Democrat, would you vote for the Republican, would you vote for the Libertarian, and provide certain information about the Libertarian as well as the Democrat and Republican. Is that about right?
That's correct. The Libertarian candidates wrote the poll questions.
Right.
But they had nothing to do with the poll being done.
Right. The poll was done by a group whose integrity is assumed and who does this and puts the results out according to the results they really find, and they don't bias it or make it up or add votes for the Libertarian or whoever's...
Exactly. In fact, the reverse is true. The Libertarians don't have enough money to do a lot of polls.
Right.
So if we do a poll, we have to stick with the results that come in. The other candidates, the major party candidates, can pay for 10 or 20 or 30 polls.
Right.
And they all have a margin of error of 4 to 5%.
Right.
So if they want to release a poll to the news public, they can pick the one that has the best results out of 10 or 20 polls whereas a libertarian has to stick with what they get.
So in a sense, they're bound to be at least somewhat more honest overall.
The libertarian poll is more honest than the other polls because it's the only ones that were done.
Now,
exactly.
Now in the connected cycle of popularity and issues and money and winning the election, it seems like you've found one place where you can intervene to a slight extent with a limited amount of money. Is that right?
It's one place we can intervene. It's actually a new thing. It hasn't been done before. Maybe because maybe the libertarian candidates didn't even know about it. Maybe they trusted the media to do fair polls. Unfortunately, fair polls aren't being done by the media when they leave out the libertarian candidate.
All right. Well, but doesn't the problem then reassert? Let's say you do a poll as you did, and you got the results that you did, and they show that somewhere between substantial and significant number of people, given the information, will say that they prefer the libertarian. The problem then becomes publicizing the poll, doesn't it?
That's a problem, but the libertarians have a large presence on the internet. Currently, Michael Bednarik is getting almost as many hits on his website as George Bush is right now.
Can you tell us about how many that is?
I don't know the numbers. I just know the relative numbers. For every hit Bednarik's getting right now, Bush is getting maybe 1.3 hits. It's on the Alexa ratings, Alexa.com. It's the premier website rating service.
Okay. So after it, was the poll that was done by Rasmussen for the National Libertarian Party conducted on the internet, by door-to-door, by phone,
over
or what?
The phone. It was a phone poll. The RasmussenReports.com website is one of the leading pollsters in the United States, especially for political parties, and it was done over the phone.
Okay. It's done by, I read their site, it seems to be done by robots.
They have some sort of an automated phone system, which makes it, it makes their data more replicable. In other words, they can do the same poll twice, so there's not the, it takes off the human error factor.
Well, if I could summarize what they said they do, they take the questions that they write or that the Libertarian Party writes or whoever their client is writes, they have them recorded by a human into a human voice clip, which is then read to, and then their machine randomly dials a lot of people and winnows them down to the ones who will talk to the machine, and then the recorded human voice asks the same questions in the same tone of voice to every one of the pollees. The data is then collected and then weighted so that if they only talk to one Native American and the state has 6% Native Americans, they give 6% of the weight to that answer, as far as I can tell.
They have the sample demographically balanced, the gender, male, female, the age, the political party affiliation.
Right.
They have it demographically balanced, which actually reduces the error below the margin of error listed.
So generally, the Rasmussen poll is considered very reputable.
It's one of the very top pollsters in the country.
How much did the National Libertarian Party pay for the poll, if you can say?
The National Libertarian Party paid $2,000 for the poll. However, they actually purchased 12 polls.
At $2,000 each?
That's right.
So they got 11 to go?
The Bednarik campaign purchased the poll, not the National Libertarian Party.
Okay, and it paid $2,000 and it's getting 12 polls, or it paid $2,000 for the first of 12 polls?
That's the first of the 12 polls.
So they got a deal for about $24,000.
Exactly. The Bednarik campaign is going to have polls released on a regular basis. That way, in case the first one gets ignored, the second one, maybe it won't.
And, of course, you'll be able to track progress or reduction in your totals.
Exactly. They'll be tracking the...
And this is the first of those?
This is the first poll. The Bednarik poll that was done nationally is the first poll done. That's
okay.
Right.
And what was the relationship of that poll, if any, to the one that Judge Jim Gray had done in California?
Well, Gray's poll was done by his campaign, paid for the poll independently.
Do you know if he's going to do 12 and has paid made an agreement for $24,000, or he's just done one for $2,000, or what?
Okay, I don't believe he's purchased 12 polls. However, I know he plans on doing more.
Okay, he had to pay did he pay $2,000 for this one?
From what I understand, he paid about the same amount for the poll.
Did Rasmussen give either of you a price break based on the other's participation?
Obviously, you're going to get a quantity discount when you buy more than one.
So you bought in bulk together, you're saying?
I think that the Rasmussen company gave a deal. Maybe, I don't really know that.
Okay. Do you know if they're going to be doing polls in Senate or other races in other states, or just California?
I believe the National Libertarian Party, in conjunction with some of the campaigns, has developed a strategy, and it's very likely that there's going to be Senate candidates around the country having polls done. It's possible they'll be done in states such as Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois, and Missouri.
Okay.
And other states, possibly.
Libertarians doing better than average in the Midwest, then?
The Libertarian Party always does better when the poll isn't being done by someone else, it seems like.
Okay. How familiar are you with the findings of the poll that was done by Rasmussen in California at the request of Judge Gray?
I've got most of the data right in front of me.
Okay, well, maybe we can talk about it a little bit. The poll was conducted when?
Last Thursday.
Last Thursday, the 22nd of July. And Rasmussen put out a press release today about it, apparently.
He posted something on his website about
right.
the results of the poll.
Okay, and what was the bottom line? How did the question that was asked about who you prefer for the Senate race in California, how did it differ in this poll from the usual poll wording?
Okay. The usual poll wording says if the election were held today.
Right.
In this poll, that was the first question.
Right.
It was also a poll of 500 likely voters with a margin of error of 4.5%. And the result was 8% for Gray, with 5% more undecided, and then the margin of error at 4.5 means he could potentially be as high as 17.5. And then we added an additional question. Let's say that your vote decided the election. It was a tie, and your vote made the difference.
Right.
Then who would you vote for? He got a straight-up 18% on that question.
Meaning it added in the fact that he could conceivably win. In other words, it was trying to look at the fact that people think he can't win, but in this situation he could win, and would they vote for him, right?
Exactly. There's a very high percentage of people who prefer to vote for a candidate, maybe like from a third party or an alternative party, but they don't do it because they think they're wasting their vote.
Right.
So what we wanted to do was measure how many people actually like Judge Gray and find out how many of those people there are. And it turns out that 18% of the people prefer Judge Gray over the other candidates. That's a pretty high number for a third party candidate.
Right, and like I said, what it's selecting out is the aspect of the 8% that would vote for him. That aspect that includes knowing pretty likely that anybody with only 8% is not going to win. You got to vote for somebody else.
That's right. Now another question that we asked has never been asked before in a poll I've seen.
Right.
Is we said, okay, now let's say you made your first choice, and we said, well, who would be your second choice for Senate?
Right.
Okay, and if you added the first choice and the second choice together, Judge Gray beat the Republican candidate by about 6%, and he was only 1% behind Barbara Boxer.
Say that part again.
Okay, after we asked people who they would vote for in the Senate race, their first choice.
Right.
And we said, well, who's your second choice? Okay.
Right.
And if you add this first and second choices together, Judge Gray had 52% of the people that liked him as first or second, and Barbara Boxer was 53% for first or second, and Jones was only at 46% for first or second.
So
in other words, what this shows is Judge Gray is right up there with Boxer and Jones in popularity.
And in fact,
quite a lack of media coverage. This
gets, in another way, to the question of allowing a system other than first past the post as a way of election, where people.
Say that again?
There's another method of election whereby if no one gets a majority in the first round, the people are having been asked to vote for their second, third, or fourth, or fifth choices. That votes are then distributed. The, whoever's at the bottom has his or her votes distributed to the other candidates, and so on until the weighted proportionality of everyone's preferences are expressed in the winner.
That's right. That's called preference voting.
Right.
And preference voting is a more accurate way to conduct an election because it's more likely that the most popular person will win in what's called preference voting.
Right.
Unfortunately, we don't have preference voting in the United States.
Are libertarians working to get it?
Every single third party, including independents like Ralph Nader and the Green Party, are all working for preference voting.
Do the libertarians have a vision that says if all the third parties get involved, that's kind of a paradox, isn't it? All the non-Democrat, non-Republican parties get together in support of structural reforms to change the voting process, it's going to be to their benefit, and that eventually the duopoly of the Democratic and Republican parties will be seriously challenged?
Okay. That idea is something that's coming of age right now. I mean, it's not the most organized idea.
Right.
It should be. Remember, all the different third-party candidates have different ideas, they're not monolithic.
Right.
But that's one idea that's coming of age. And I would bet that in the next 5 years, you're going to see a more organized effort for preference voting.
Although, of course, there are intrinsic limitations given the state divided powers and so on, and the very strong tendency in this kind of constitutional arrangement to have two parties.
That's right. That's just the way the voting system is. So, our voting system would be more accurate if we had preference voting, because it's more likely the most popular candidate would win.
Okay.
That simple.
Now, the poll result that said Judge Jim Gray attracts 8% of the vote. That's 1 in 12. If you had a jury, one person on the jury would be in favor of would be voting for Judge Gray right at the beginning. But of course, as you remember in the movie, if you've seen the movie 12 Angry Men, of course they were all men at the time. 12 Angry Jurors. Only Henry Fonda, if I've got it right, thought that the person was innocent to start with. But by the time it was done, the discussions and the deliberations, he was acquitted. Do you have some kind of theory or vision or plan that would allow Judge Gray to build up from the 8% he's got, or the presidential candidate to build up from the percent he's got, or do you think at some point it's not going to be just no media access, no poll access, but the ideas of the candidates, of the non-traditional candidates, will be considered and then possibly rejected?
First of all, the ideas of the candidate of Judge Gray, I believe, are superior to the others, and they should be showcased in all the televised debates.
Right.
68% of the people in California said they want Judge Gray in the TV debates. I believe there's one coming up in early August.
Right, there is, August 10th. So that question was directly asked in this poll. How many of you would like to see the Libertarian candidate in the debate?
That's right. 68% said yes, and only 13% said no. It's overwhelming margin wants Judge Gray in the debates. It's very overwhelming. It's super majority.
So what possible justification could the League of Women Voters, which is sponsoring the debate on the basis of you can't get in it unless you get 10% of the vote in the first vote,
We don't know what Judge Gray's numbers are. His polling numbers are somewhere between 4 and 12,
right,
according to the poll.
Right.
So for all we know, he's at 10. He's also at 18% on another question. We asked the question, if your vote decided the election, who would you vote for?
Right.
That's a straight-up question. That's over 10%. I think he's in the debate right now.
So you'd say 18%. Given that he has a result of 8%, there's a margin of error of 4%.
I think that's a great argument. That's a great argument. It's been used before. We don't know his number. I think he's over 10%.
So even by the standards enunciated in a recent debate on California Politics Today by the lead person at the League of Women Voters about this, where she said, you got to have 10%, you're saying that on the basis of this poll, it's completely reasonable to say that he does have 10%.
It's very likely that he's over 10% because he got 18% in another question in the same poll, which was simply, who would you vote for if it was a tie and your vote decided the election?
Okay.
You got 18%. The League of Women Voters rules don't say what the wording of the question has to be. That's a neutral and fair wording. In fact, it's actually a stronger wording. There's 18% of the people want Gray to be their senator.
Well, you're saying that the wording that yielded the 18%, if the selection in the election depended on you, who would you prefer? And 18% said yes. This leaves out, as I think I've said already twice, the element that involves people thinking, well, he has too few, almost the self-fulfilling prophecy that says he can't win, therefore I won't waste my vote by voting for him.
Maybe voters will do that when November turns around, but now, 18% of the people want Judge Gray to be their senator, not 8%.
Right, and you're saying that 18, which could of course be 14% or 22%.
Exactly.
Those people have expressed a preference for the judge in a poll that you consider to be honest, legal, straightforward, and reflective of their interest, and you're saying that the League of Women Voters hasn't specified what the question has to be, and that question is just as good as the ones that don't qualify them. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, who says there has to be a... The question, if the election were held today, is biased.
Yes.
It's a biased methodology, because what it does is it forces someone today to pick a candidate.
Right.
No one has to pick today who they want to vote for. They can pick in November who they want to vote for. They don't have to pick today.
Right.
We have another question which said, would you consider voting for Judge Gray?
Right.
And that's 46%.
Right. So,
46% of the people are thinking about voting for Gray right now.
Well,
it
doesn't say they're thinking about it. They said they would consider thinking about it. So.
Well, it says they're considering. It doesn't say thinking about it. Would you consider voting for Libertarian Judge Gray?
Right. Would you consider?
46%.
Yes. I think that shows they want to show they're open-minded rather than that they are thinking about Judge Gray because people don't know who he is.
Actually, that's not true, though, because normally when you ask a question like that about someone no one's ever heard of, numbers are much lower.
Ah, okay.
Far lower than that.
They're
usually 5 or 10%.
And you have some experience with asking questions about people who people have never heard of, I'm sure, as a libertarian.
That's a common vote question.
Right.
Actually, when polling first started,
in the
mid-century,
right,
that question was more commonly asked because back then they didn't have the system set up to set up the biased polling to set up the two-party system. Back then they wanted to know data.
Right.
Most people narrow their choices as the election draws near.
Right.
So that's why asking who would you consider voting for is a much more accurate question than who are you going to vote for if the election's today. That's a speculative question. The election isn't held today. It's held in November.
Okay,
want to ask them if it's about today? It's not held today.
Okay, let me ask you about what you see in these results. The second paragraph of the Rasmussen press release or web text says Boxer, that's Barbara Boxer, the incumbent U.S. Senator, Democrat, wins 79% of the votes from Democrats, while 73% of Republicans say they'll vote for Jones. This is pretty interesting. It means that almost 4 out of 5 people in both parties who identify with the party are going to vote for their candidate. But then it says, among voters not affiliated with either of these two parties, 50% prefer Boxer, which to me says there are a lot of disaffected Democrats or former Democrats who are now unaffiliated. And then 22% said they'll vote for Jones, and 20% they vote for Gray, said they'd vote for Gray. What do you read into this?
Here's what I make out of that.
Yeah.
Let's let's say that Judge Gray doesn't win this election.
Right.
Okay? Maybe we don't know what he's going to do if he gets into the debates. He could steal the show. But let's say that he doesn't. Okay. What this shows is that he's going to be a factor in the race regardless of anything else. In other words, a lot of the people, the swing voters, those voters you just mentioned in the second paragraph,
right.
Those are the swing voters.
Right.
Swing voters determine elections. As you can see, Jones is not getting the swing voters very well
right.
for a Republican.
He's not doing. He's barely doing. If the 4% plus or minus figures in here, he's neck and neck with Gray.
So if I was a Republican, I'd be saying, hey, as soon as I get my name out there more, you know, maybe I can capture some of these swing voters. Maybe I can capture them from Boxer. Maybe I can capture them from Gray. That's what the Republican's going to be saying right now. Of course, the same thing with Gray. Gray wants to capture the swing voters from Boxer and Jones.
In fact, if there is the Republican Party is not doing that well in California. It's going to lose. Kerry's got the presidential election locked up. There are, as far as I can tell, there are no Republicans who hold statewide office. The Republicans are a minority in the Assembly and the Senate. And as you can see here, Bill Jones is running.
Arnold.
What am I saying? Yes, the governor is a Republican, but he's kind of an unusual Republican. I think could all say. And so it seems to me that if libertarians are going to make have an ascendancy anywhere, it would be that they would essentially overtake the Republicans and then gather in those disaffected Republicans who see they're never going to win as Republicans, never get any power as Republicans. They need to become libertarians. And then it would be then there'd be a dialectic between the libertarians and the Democrats for the hearts and minds of California voters over the next 10 or 20 years. Is that a plausible scenario?
It's very plausible. Now, here's a difference between a Republican and a Libertarian. Republicans, all they care about is whether they win the election or not. They'll do whatever they'll say whatever they want. They need to say to get elected. They'll do whatever they have to do to get elected.
Well, Democrats have been known
to
Democrats have been known to do that as well.
Libertarians care about, of course, Libertarians want to win, but Libertarians care about their message to the people. They have a message of freedom, a message of hope. They talk about the Constitution. Libertarians care about getting their message out. So if Judge Gray and Jones were tied, and the Republican Party decided this is a waste of our time, he's never going to win. Maybe a lot of supporters would jump over to the Libertarian candidate.
Okay, well,
it could happen.
We haven't talked at all, maybe by choice, about the substance of any of these campaigns, but let me just ask you this kind of sort of meta-issue question. As I see it, libertarians support an even freer market philosophy than Republicans, and they're more likely, at least as long as they're out of power, to support it unequivocally. But they favor a lot of personal freedom issues, not just economic freedom issues, such as the decriminalization of marijuana, presumably the right to abortion. I don't know what the position is on gay rights, but it couldn't be more to the less tolerant than the Republican, and so on. Am I right so far that libertarians essentially have the economic message of the Republicans and the personal liberty issues of the Democrats?
Exactly. Here's how I'd explain it. Okay, we know that Republicans are considered on the right, Democrats are on the left.
Right.
A libertarian is going to be more like a Republican on economic issues and more like a Democrat on personal issues. Arnold Schwarzenegger is sort of like a libertarian.
Yes, that's right.
He probably would be a libertarian if the party was bigger in California.
And for that matter, so was Jerry Brown, wasn't he?
I'm not as familiar with Jerry
Brown.
Well,
yeah, but he pitched himself as a fiscal conservative, and
but
obviously
Paul Tongass, who ran for president a number of years ago, said he was a pro-business liberal.
Right.
That's kind of a code word for saying you're trying to say that you're a libertarian.
Okay.
Now, whether you are a libertarian, some people say they're libertarians just to sound good.
Right.
But sometimes they're not really libertarians. Now, I want to bring up two other political parties.
Right.
There's also the Green Party, which is far left.
Right.
And there's the Constitution Party, which is far right. Those are the next biggest political parties.
Where in the country, in California, or where?
Well, nationally, nationally, I don't know about specifically in California, but nationally, the Green Party and the Constitution Party are the fourth and fifth biggest party.
Okay, maybe they're the sixth. I'd like to throw in the Peace and Freedom Party that's essentially a socialist party.
I've never heard of that party.
Okay.
But in the long run, these far left and far right parties never go anywhere because all their members get caught up in a situation where, let's say you're on the Green Party this year.
Right.
Who are you going to support? Are you going to support Kerry? Are you going to support whoever the Green Party has for president? Are you going to support Nader?
Right.
So everybody is all split. Libertarians are right in the middle. We're on the left or right spectrum. We're not left or right. We're in the middle, in between a Democrat and Republican. So our members, on the whole, just don't care who wins between Bush or Kerry. We don't care who wins between Jones or Boxer. We're in the middle on the positions, on the issues.
Well, it sounds to me like
in the long run, we're going to last longer.
It seems to me, rather than in the middle, you're more on both edges. Because I think that your commitment to free markets is stronger than the Republicans, and your commitment to individual rights is stronger than the Democrats.
That's true, but if you take the average of the position...
Oh, yeah,
if you
take the average, yes, you're in the middle.
Then we're more in the middle.
But
and left-right spectrum doesn't account for what you're saying. It only accounts for the average.
Well, are you expecting, though, to either bring in people who feel that the free market... we're simplifying here, but that the free market issues are so important that they're willing to disregard the party's position on personal freedom issues and bring in people on the... other side whose belief in your ability to get them the personal freedom issues they want is enough to make them forget about your free market stuff, or are you expecting to recruit a whole lot of people who individually embody what may be a contradiction or may not between having free markets and personal freedom issues? You see what I'm asking? Are you going to bring in people from the right and left who will put up with the other side, or are you going to get people who embody themselves, the philosophy that's consistent? I see personal freedom, economic freedom,
okay.
It's consistent.
First of all,
yeah.
Let's talk about figure out who we're talking about here. If we're
right.
talking about Judge Gray,
right.
Judge Gray has several sources of getting votes. Now, remember, it's a three-way race,
right.
You only need 34% in a three-way race.
And that's 34% of the... Right. And that's 34%
of the positions. You can hold positions that only 40 to 45% of the public agrees with in a three-way race.
Right.
That's good strategy, whereas it's bad strategy in a two-way race.
Right.
Now, there's a lot of people that can be drawn into the Libertarian Judge Gray camp. First of all, there'll be Republicans who don't think that Jones is going to win.
Right.
So they're going to vote their conscience. I'm going to vote for Gray. I like him better.
Right.
Also, people... On the drug war policy,
right?
As you know, Judge Gray has seen the drug war, the bad effects of the drug war, the incredible amount of breaking the Constitution, the amount of human misery created by the drug war. He's got a much more rational position on the drug war. I know he wants the three strikes law to not include drug cases. He'd like to see medical marijuana legalized. He'd like to see marijuana treated like alcohol, tobacco, taxed and regulated rather than a black market. There's people on the left, you know, the green movement type people, they don't have anywhere to go in California unless they go to Judge Gray. So maybe, you know, Barbara Boxer is going to try to pretend like she's their man or
woman.
I guess,
right.
in California. But, you know, Barbara Boxer isn't going to do anything for those people. She just gives them lip service.
Right.
And because she's going to say, well, the Republicans are worse than I am. Or, you know, what if Judge Gray gets ahead of the Republican in the polls?
Right.
You know, what happens if there's a debate next month and Judge Gray knocks a home run? He's going to jump way up in the polls. His fundraising is going to go up. His news coverage is going to go up. The ideas that he's espousing are going to be out there. Maybe he'll win.
And if there's pressure put, I would guess that Senator Boxer feels it's a shoo-in for her now, and that there's no pressure on her to change anything. But if the scenario that you just outlined took place, it's conceivable that she'd start getting a little stressed, which might affect her campaign performance, etc.
Well, like I said, most Republicans who run, all they care about is winning the election. So if they get 40%, you know, they're looked at as a loser.
Right.
You know, maybe Jones won't try as hard, and maybe maybe Gray will take advantage of that.
Right.
I mean, Judge Gray cares about the race, whether he wins or loses. He wants his ideas out there.
So are you saying also that because he's running both as a candidate with a specific ideology that he's trying to propagate, as well as trying to win, that he's freer to stick to his ideology, which may turn out to be appealing to people who are tired of candidates, Democrats and Republicans, who shape what they have to say to just win and then don't do it if they don't feel like it?
Exactly. I mean, the Democratic Party is having their national convention.
Yes.
Starting tonight.
Right.
And, you know, I'm a political junkie.
Right.
I'm not going to be able to sit through this. It's not. They're not going to articulate the issues very clearly. They're going to just make. They're going to say they don't like Bush. They're going to claim they could do the war in Iraq better. They probably won't mention the Patriot Act. But what differences do they really have? You know, what specifics are they going to tell us? It's going to be really boring. I wouldn't be able to sit through it.
Right.
The ratings of the national conventions have really went down in the last generation. I don't know if you remember, but a generation ago they were big, big events for TV, gavel to gavel coverage. Now they're scripted. It's just a big script.
They're scripted down to the last combing of the hair of the people who appear on screen.
And another outrage is that the taxpayers of the United States, the taxpayers of California,
right.
they have to pay $50 to $100 million in taxes to pay for the cost of running the conventions the Democrats and Republicans have. The Libertarian Party had to pay their whole convention with their own money.
I think it's not. It's also true that the Democratic and Republican candidates are going to be getting tens of millions of taxpayer dollars to run their campaigns, aren't they?
They're getting that too. They each get $75 million or something like that. Plus, they're getting. I heard they're spending $50 million on taxes for security.
Now is that
several dozen million more just to throw the conventions? It's outrageous.
Is that because they each get 10% or more in the polls? This was a joke.
I don't know what all the rules are. The rules are rigged in favor of Democrats and Republicans.
Well, the rules were made by Democrats and Republicans.
That's right. We have a lot of problems with discrimination in the United States, and we've been making a lot of gains. In the last 100 years, it's no longer acceptable to discriminate against women or African Americans. Gays are now getting maybe the right to get married finally. But discrimination against libertarians, for some reason, is acceptable. Polls are done without libertarians. Campaign finance laws are written to keep money from libertarians. Libertarians are kept off the ballot. It's just the same thing as bigotry against libertarians.
It seems to me another way of looking at it, that's one out-of-the-box way of looking at it. Another way is if this were going on in I don't know whether third world country is now a discriminatory term, but in a country with less of a history of what's called democracy than the United States, if efforts were made by the two biggest parties to keep the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth parties out of the balloting, the UN or Jimmy Carter or someone might complain that there's discrimination taking place against all these other parties.
Okay, well, first of all, I'm going to be real here. We have two parties.
Right.
Running the government rather than one. And the worst governments of history, like the Ba'ath Party in Iraq,
right.
The Nazi Party in Germany, the Communist Party in Soviet Union,
right.
There was only one party, so all the other parties were discriminated against.
We see again how Saddam's hero was Stalin, and he borrowed that
right.
from him.
The one party is the worst.
Right.
We've got two parties, where the other parties are discriminated against. Discrimination isn't as bad against libertarians as it was in the second and third parties in these other totalitarian states.
Right.
But it's just a matter of degree. And the reality is it's not acceptable in our society to discriminate against libertarians. It's not acceptable to discriminate against minorities, women, African Americans, or gays. Why should it be okay to discriminate against libertarians?
And at the present, in fact, if we're playing semantic games, libertarians certainly are a minority. No one would doubt that. That's why we're having this discussion.
It's a minority, but it's a minority that's a lot bigger
right.
or more vocal. According to the poll that Bednarik just did,
right.
10% of the people in the United States say, I'm a libertarian. That's what they said.
That's with 10%. A small L or a big L?
It was a verbal question.
It didn't ask him
what side.
The question was,
would you identify yourself as a conservative, liberal, or libertarian?
Right.
And 10% said they were a libertarian.
Okay, so, and obviously one difference between libertarians as a minority and the other groups that are more traditionally considered minorities is that libertarianism as an idea could become a majority. They could become part of a majority eventually.
Yeah. I would say that when the Constitution was written,
right,
we had a majority of libertarians. We had people like James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, you know, people like that, who clearly espoused libertarian views. We've come a long way from James Madison to George Bush, that's for sure.
Right. We've also come a long way from an agrarian a nation along the eastern seaboard to a nation, the most powerful nation state in the history of the planet.
A lot of people like to bring that up,
yes.
But James Madison was a little sharper than that. They put in the Constitution on a way to amend the Constitution.
Right.
So, yes, times have changed in the last 200 years. But what libertarians are saying is, why can't we amend the Constitution rather than just ignore it?
All right. We'll see what happens. I want to thank you for your time, your ideas. I hope we'll be able to talk some more when some more polls come out and see the numbers go up or down or stay the same.
This year is the year of the poll for the Libertarian Party. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you very much. Talk to you later. Don't hang up, though, all right? Just a minute.
Okay.
I'll just say goodbye.